Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour adventure, later on we hear suspense with the story The Man with the Steel Teeth. But right now it's The Chase, a Lawrence Klee production from June 1st, 1952 on NBC, called Easy Rich's Sudden Death.
The National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Chase. In the animal world, there is the hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, chicken and worm. We in the topmost species have also joined the hunt. But who is to judge precisely which of us are hounds or foxes as we enter the chase? Although the chase may assume a multitude of forms, the disease is seldom more pernicious or acute than the eternal pursuit for easy riches and sudden death.
Boy, hey you. More chow mein, chop chop.
Wow, if it ain't the skipper. The skipper himself, Captain Eddie Munn.
What are you doing here, you crumb bum?
I know that ain't nice, Captain. You ain't forgot about your pal Alfie. Can you imagine eating Captain Eddie in a Panama Chinese chow joint? It's a small word.
Stop calling me Captain.
Huh?
I ain't skipper no ship anymore.
Oh, how come,
Never mind how come, I just ain't, that's all.
Well, you're in uniform.
Yeah, some uniform, one stripe. I got a berth as purser on the Tropic Ann.
The Tropic Ann? You mean that cruise tub?
That's the one.
Oh, how do you like that? Captain Eddie on a cruise tub, taking the tourists for a ride. You serving the morning soup and crackers to rubber next, Captain?
Go ahead, keep talking. And I'll twist the bone out of your windpipe.
You strangle me, Eddie.
Beat it.
You got no calling a rough, Eddie. I was only joking.
You ain't got a sense of humor anymore.
Yeah, mind if I sit down?
What for?
Got something to tell you. Pretty big stuff. I shouldn't let you in on account of the way you just treated me, but I got a big heart.
Yeah, big as a tooth for them.
Eddie, look. Maybe I shouldn't tell you here, but I've been looking for a partner ever since I hit Panama 2 months ago.
You're wasting your time. I ain't giving any more handouts to creeps like you. Now on, Eddie Monks is strictly for himself.
Handout? Who's asking for a handout? I'm the one who's handing out, mister.
You? What are you giving away, Alfie? The time?
Oh, Eddie, look. How'd you like to be rich? I don't mean cheap rich, lousy rich. How'd you like, say, $20 million?
Go away from me, you smokehead. You're all jived up.
Listen, you, I'm talking straight. I got a fortune in my pocket on a 10-inch piece of paper. All we got to do is go after it. Even our bathtub faucets will be made of solid gold.
Get your crummy elbows off my table. Here's my chow mein.
Ain't you gonna listen to me?
Sure. Let me know when you hit a laugh line. I'm wide open for a yacht.
Eddie, you always was too smart for your own good, but this time you're way out in left field. With a boat and some diving gear, we're in the chips. I ain't no skin off my ears if you don't want to listen.
Diving gear? What do you mean?
Well, that's better. Eddie, there's 40 or 50 million bucks in gold bullion at the bottom of the drink off of the coast of Honduras. You ever hear the Graf Essen?
You mean that Kraut cruiser that went down during the war?
You know what she went down with?
Yeah.
Gold bars. Hundreds of them. They were being shipped to a hideout for the Heine Big Shots. She sunk with all hands in 40 fathoms of water, loaded with gold.
And just waiting for little Alfie Pike to dive in and make a killing, huh?
Nobody knows she had the stuff in her hold, and she was so banged up that nobody done any salvage on her.
Then how did you find out?
Well, it was a crowd. I met him in the States. I'd done him a good turn. He gave me a map before he died.
Ah, sounds like a two-bit movie.
Oh, you big, thick yokel. Must I show you in black and white? Here. Look.
What's in that chamois bag?
Open it up and find out.
Hey, this looks like...
Gold dust, Eddie.
Gold dust?
It was scraped off one of the bars by my pal. Oh, there ain't much in there. Maybe it's worth the C-note all told, but the map come with it. And there's lots more where that goof dust come from, Eddie.
Let's see the map.
No, Dice.
What?
I keep the map. We go partners after we salvage the loot. Now you believe me, mister? Now you think my head's full of smoke?
Now, wait a minute. How come you waited this long to grab it? And how come you picked on me?
Oh, I didn't wait for you. You just turned up. You lucky stiff. I've been waiting for a steak, that's all.
What kind of steak?
Oh, I need a bolt, diving gear. I know a John with a 60-footer. It ain't got speed, but it's a pretty good oil burner. And we can rent it for $2,000. A diving gear might cost a couple more. And there's grub. I figure the whole deal for $6,000 or $7,000. No more.
$6,000 or $7,000. You say it like you find that kind of dough on top of seaweed. How are we going to get that much?
That's up to you, sweetie.
Me?
What do you think I'm cutting in as a partner for? I got the map. You got the cash to stake us. It figures.
Where am I going to get that kind of money?
Easy.
Yeah, how?
Well, didn't you tell me you got a purser's berth on the tourist tub?
Yeah.
Don't the purser handle the cash?
He handles some.
Well, grab what you can and then jump ship. I'll be waiting for you at the Hotel Su Chow on Front Street.
Ah, you say it like it was easy. All I gotta do is bust the ship safe open, that's all. All I gotta
do is... There's millions in this, Eddie, and you gotta hold up your own end to cash in. Su Chow Hotel, remember? And then we start to chase that rainbow, Eddie. The one with a pot of gold.
Eddie Monks, open up. Shut that door and lock it.
You got the move on?
I got it. Who's that?
A Mac. Come over here, Mac. This is Mike McCray, a pal of mine. Meet Eddie Monks, Mac.
Hi. What's a big idea? You didn't tell me you were roping anybody else in on this deal?
Well, now take it easy, Captain. You forget we got to have a diving man. You ever been under with the gear on?
No.
Neither have I. It's 40 fathoms down.
I ain't never been that deep before myself, and it ain't going to be no pushover.
Well, Mac could be taking all the chances.
And I ain't taking them for free.
Is he cut in for a straight one third? We could have hired a guy to go down for us.
Yeah. When he found out what we were after, you think he'd have settled for a couple of C's? Well, Mac's a pal of mine. He knows his stuff. With you at the wheel, skipper, and Mac underneath the helmet, we can't miss.
Look, if you don't want to cut me in, just say so, sailor. I ain't so anxious to go down our 240 feet. Tight enough to bust your ribs down there. Just try it once yourself.
All right. All right. You're in. But three is enough, Alfie, savvy?
Three it is. Now, where's the dough?
In my poke. Now, how about the map, Alfie? Time we all had a look.
Sit down over here, gent. Here's the setup. We sailed north-northwest. We reached Swan Island.
Yeah.
Then steer due west toward Belize. Till we're at latitude...
Hey, you expecting a call?
Sit tight for a sec. Yeah? Yeah. Outside. Now? Okay, thanks for the tip. There's a cop in the street. He's casing the joint. One of the clerks just tipped me off. You think they're on your tail already, Ed?
Well, the ship sailed 2 hours ago, but they might have checked the cash and cable. The cop is back here in Panama. I better blow.
Well, there's a way out through the back. I'll show you.
Huh?
Lay low for 2 days and then meet us at the slip. This guy's called the Nora 2. I'll take her over and buy Max diving gear. Give me the dough.
Here. And look, Alfie. Make sure that... boat's still there when I show up.
Oh, keep your shirt on. We'll be there and ready to move. Right, Mac?
Right.
That you, Mac?
Stowed the gear. Set to go.
Eddie should show tomorrow. Then we skip.
Tomorrow's a long way off. Tonight's a good night for moving through the harbor.
We'll be screened by the fog. We can't be stopped by some nosy Coast Guard.
What about Eddie?
We need him that bad?
This tub ain't no Queen Mary's. It's hard to handle. Eddie knows his stuff.
Splitting 50-50's better than breaking it up in thirds.
Are you hinting, Mac, old boy? You're suggesting we cop across?
Splitting 50-50's better than breaking it up in thirds.
Think we can handle this tub alone? Just the two of us?
Sure.
And hoist anchor.
Stand by to shove off.
Yo, when you're ready, Mac.
Better take the wheel, Alf. We're set to move. Captain is the guy who takes the wheel, Alfie. And that's me.
Eddie, thinking of shoving off without me, Alfie?
Oh, no. Ed, so help me. We was going to take a turn around the harbor, that's all.
Testing, huh?
Sure, testing.
I ought to twist the skull right off your neck.
Eddie, no. I swear you test.
Lay off of him.
Who says? I says. You ain't so tough that you can handle me. So lay off.
Okay. Later, maybe we have this out. Right now, okay. But get this straight. I'm in this to the finish. And I'm getting my cut. And if I'm navigating this scow, I'm giving the orders, too. Now, you, Mac, give me some steam. Alfie, chuck the hawser. We're on our way, matey. 40 million or bust.
Ticket the wheel, Ed.
Hold it steady.
We should be sighting Swan Island off the starboard bow pretty soon now.
Don't worry, we ain't gonna miss it.
Eddie.
Yeah?
We've been at sea for 5 days. Getting along nice. I just want to say I hope you don't hold it against Mac and me for making that mistake in Panama.
I don't waste my time holding grudges, Alfie.
That's what I thought. Like I always said, a man makes one mistake.
Watch the wheel and shut your trap. Where's Mac?
He's forward, checking his diving gear.
Keep her steady.
Oh, sure. Sure, Cap.
Setting up your gear, Mac?
Yeah. Using it soon. Alf tells me we'll be dropping anchor tomorrow.
According to my chart and Alfie's map, that's where we'll start diving.
Yeah, you guys could have shelled out for an aluminum suit with a compressed air tank on the back. This gear is older than I am.
It was the best we could do with the dough we had.
Yeah, this outfit works with a hand pump. You know how to handle it?
Sure. This is the phone connection, right?
Right.
And this is your intake.
Yeah.
We pump the handle slow and steady to keep your lungs filled. Anything else?
Just don't forget to pump that handle, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guy who's got to breathe.
Then I told you not to call me Captain.
Oh, yeah. I heard you lost your papers, Monks. How come? You steer some tub on a reef or what?
Yeah. I steer some tub on a reef. You got it right, Tootsie. But when his hunt is over, I buy myself a dozen tubs just like it, see? I buy myself a whole fleet of tubs.
Yeah. Buy yourself the moon, mister, as long as you don't use my share to do it.
Land ahoy! Huh? Swan Island's off the starboard bow.
Bring a horse to port. I'll be right up.
Well, it won't be long now, Monks. 40 million smackers, and that ain't hay.
Alf showed us where to go, Mac, and I'm getting her there. The next move is up to you.
Keep that pump going slow and steady, Alf.
How long's Mac been under, Ed?
20 minutes.
How long can he stay on?
We'll give him 10 minutes more, then hoist him back for a breather.
What's them bubbles coming up through the water?
Carbon monoxide, exhaled air from his escape valve. As long as them bubbles show, we know he's breathing. Hey, wait a minute. He's trying to reach me on the earphone. Mac?
Partner.
The gold?
Yeah, I think so. There's a hole in the port side, but it ain't big enough to squeeze through. I'm coming up for a blowtorch.
I'll ship it down here.
No, I'm coming up. Getting a little tired. I need a rest. Down again later.
Okay.
Not hauling me up, but take it easy. Pull too fast, and I'll get the bench.
Well, lift you slow, Mac. Hold on. Won't be long now, Alf. Keep pumping. I'll handle the winch and raise him.
He's breaking water, Al. Lay off the pump. Give me a hand to get him over the side. All right. Come on. Yeah. Loosen them screws on the back of his helmet. Yeah. Easy. Okay. Pull it off.
Yeah, let me sit down a minute.
Over here, Mac.
Yeah. Right, give me a butter. I'm pooped.
Did you see the stuff in the hole, Mac?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of hard to tell underwater. It was a busted strong box.
Yeah.
Looked like a shell hit it. Two or three things that looked like bricks went near the bulkhead.
That's it. The bricks. They're made of gold.
What do you think you want to go down again, Mac?
Later this afternoon, I'll take a net. When I try to step, you can yank it all up in one haul.
I can hardly wait.
Just make sure you guys don't get so excited you forget to work that pump.
You'll get all the air you need, Mac.
Nice work. Come on, Alf. While Mac takes a breather, let's set up that salvage net. We'll be ready to go in a couple of hours.
Been down there almost an hour, Eddie.
Let's see what goes. Mac. Mac.
Yeah?
How you coming?
Well, I got most of it inside the net now. Must be 200 or 300 bars. You'll have to use the winch to pull it up.
Can you switch your winch hook onto the net?
I think so.
How's he doing, Eddie?
Fine. He's all right, Mac. His nose is stuffed.
I told you he'd make a good point.
Yeah, you told me.
Eddie?
Yeah, Mac. Got all the bricks?
Snap. Is anything left? I don't see it.
Make sure.
Oh, I did make sure. Anyways, I can't stay down much longer. There's too much pressure. All in that up, then send down winch for me.
Here she goes.
It's coming up.
Take your pump. I'll swing the net over the side when it shows.
Good thing that winch is motor driven. We'd never be able to handle a load like that, Eddie.
I'd have handled it if I had to tear the arms right out of my shoulders.
Then that's broken water.
I got it.
Eddie, look.
A mountain of gold bars.
Millions. Millions. I could rub them on my face like shaving.
Eddie.
I could eat them raw, Eddie.
Eddie.
Yeah, Mac.
Boat on deck?
Just got it.
Well, where's that winch?
Sending it right back to you, Mac. Here she comes. Getting tired, Alf?
Tired?
Pumping that air down? Let me spell you for a while.
Okay, eh?
Here, take the earphones.
Right. Mac. Mac, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got the winch hook. I'm tying it on.
Check.
Hey, I thought Eddie was on the earphones and you was pumping.
He took over the pump. I got tired. How you feel, pal?
Not too good. I got a couple of cramps. The suit ain't in the best shape ever.
Just give us the word. We'll haul you up, kid.
I'm ready now. And take it easy. I want 10-minute rest on every level. You got it?
Got it.
Start moving.
I better hold a winch, Eddie. Set a 10-minute rest on each level.
Okay.
Mac.
Yeah?
We'll hold you here. 20 fathoms, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Tired of pumping, Eddie?
No.
What's he got to rest on every level for?
If he comes up too fast, he'll bust his gut like a blowfish. You got to get used to the pressure.
Oh.
What you looking at?
The gold.
Nice, huh?
Gorgeous.
Be nicer if only two had a split.
What?
Two ways is better than three, Alfie.
You mean...
It's easy. All I gotta do is to stop pumping this handle.
It's suffocated. You got no air.
So?
You can't do that.
No.
Eddie, you stop pumping him air.
Did I?
Alfie!
Yeah, Mac?
Something's wrong.
Wrong?
The airliner might be fouled up. I'm choking out the air.
Got a cigarette, Alfie?
Alf, I need air. I'm choking.
Valve bubbles. They're slowing up, Eddie.
Give me a match.
Want me to take the wheel, Eddie?
Yeah, take over. What's eating you, Crumb Bump?
Nothing.
You look like you're falling to pieces.
I'll be glad when I'm off this sky, that's all.
Away from me?
Away from everything. I get a feeling sometimes. A feeling that Mac's following us. Like when I try to get some sleep, I can still hear them bubbles. Slowing up. Stopping when he stops.
That's your trap.
Wasn't my fault. When we come to judgment, I won't get the blame. It was yours.
I said shut up! Hey!
Mona. She's missing.
She's conked out. Come on below. Put that light on.
Well, put it on.
I dare. Lights ain't working.
Holy smoke. Her batteries are out.
Batteries?
We won't be able to start the motor up again even if I fix her.
Eddie.
All right, give me time. I'll check her over. You ain't far from shore anyways. Maybe we'll drift in with the tide. Hand me the tools from out of that chest. I'm going to work.
Any luck, Eddie?
Yeah, all bad.
Can't you start?
I'm trying, ain't I? Now shut your yap and hand me that wrench.
Well?
No soap.
You mean we got adrift?
Yeah.
We could radio for help.
With this load of bullion aboard, are you nuts? We'd never get it through customs. Take it away from us, you jerk.
What are we gonna do?
Just drift, that's all. Just drift. This is fine. This is great. $40 million in gold, and we're laying on deck like a couple of slobs, waiting for a breeze.
It must be Mac. Get back at us. It must be Mac out in the chase.
One more crack like that, and I'll feed you to the barracudas.
What's that?
What's what?
Listen. Them bubbles. Them air bubbles. Can you hear?
Pipe down.
It's the doom. It's Mac. It's the air coming out of Mac.
Pipe down.
What do you see, eh?
Nothing. The water's clear. Must have been some air come out with the bilge, that's all. What are you looking at me that way for?
I'm just wondering, that's all.
Wondering what? If I'll cross you two? Thinking I might try to get rid of you like I got rid of Mac and keep the swag myself, Alfie?
Don't come near me.
What about you, Alfie? Maybe you ain't had the same thought about getting rid of me, huh? I can read your mind like a book, Tootsie, so watch your step, you hear?
I wouldn't cross you, Eddie. Don't get sore.
Go on, lay there like a side of beef. I'm going down to the galley and get me some grub.
Got some grub for me, Eddie?
Yeah. Well, ain't you gonna eat it?
I ain't got no appetite all of a sudden.
Maybe you want me to force it down your throat.
Can I help it? Eddie!
Now what?
Listen. The bubbles again. Eddie, that's all I hear now. Bubbles.
You punch drunk ape, that's a tea kettle on the stove.
Tea kettle.
You're going off your nut. But before you do, let me tell you. I ain't waiting for no screwball to kill this deal. We're drifting west and we'll make sure in a day or two. Now keep your scalp on, Alfie, or you'll get what Mac got, savvy?
Help! Land?
Where?
Can't be more than 10 miles off. Looks like empty beach, too. What a break, huh, Eddie?
For me, maybe.
You?
Guess it's time for you to transfer, Alfie. This is the end of the line.
Eddie, I didn't know you was packing a gun.
You know it now. What are you laughing at? Answer me, you screwy crumb bum. What's that sound?
It's water, Eddie.
Water? Hey, we're listening.
I just opened up all the portholes below the line.
You what?
I figured we needed a swim, Eddie. Max out there alone, Eddie. He's swimming by himself. I knew he'd like company.
You crossed me, you maniac.
Triple cross, huh, Eddie? You crossed Max, I crossed you. You crossed me.
Why, you...
Working the wireless, Eddie. Won't do you no good. I pulled the wires. I wanted to make sure we'd get our swim.
You nut, you crazy nut. 10 miles from shore, you have to blow your top. $40 million to feed the fish.
Get your feet wet, Eddie. Water's coming in fast. Listen to the bubbles, Eddie. Listen. I didn't get it like Max did. But you will, Eddie. You will.
10 miles. 10 miles from shore. $40 million going right back to the game from. Oh! Oh! Ah! Oh!
In the animal world, there is the hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, chicken and worm. We in the topmost species have also joined the hunt, but who is to judge precisely which of us are hounds or foxes as we enter the chase?
The Chase on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from June 1st, 1952 on NBC, created and written by Lawrence Klee. His previous projects were The Clock, another suspenseful adventure show. He also wrote for the detective series The Fat Man and Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for radio's outstanding theater of thrills, suspense. John Daner stars in The Man with the Steel Teeth, a CBS broadcast from February 17, 1955.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, the story of a man who makes his escape from the most dreaded prison in the world. We call it The Man with the Steel Teeth. So now, starring John Daner, here is tonight's suspense play, The Man with the Steel Teeth. April 29th. I was seated in my box at the Bolshoi Opera in Moscow, listening to a particularly fine performance of Boris Godunov, when I felt a slap on my shoulder.
Polizia. Пойдем.
Hmm? What do you want?
Пойдем. Я из полиции. Отсюда.
Now, look here. What's this all about?
You are under arrest.
Arrest? What are you talking about?
Come.
There were two other men with him, big men. In a moment, I found myself escorted down the corridor, down the grand staircase, and out into the dark street to a black limousine waiting in front. No one said a word as we sped through the streets, the men on either side of me staring straight ahead. Then we rounded a corner, and in a second I knew our destination. Lubyanka Prison, home of 1,000 ugly secrets and the dread MVD. We swung down a long ramp and came to a stop at a huge, unguarded bronze door. Inside, I was taken through another door and steered down a long corridor. It was the cell block. And I was a prisoner of the Soviet secret police.
Хочете селедку со мной?
Ой, спасибо, спасибо, товарищ ревизор Голови. Я сейчас позавтракал. Я ел ногу.
Now, just a minute. But I've been here 2 days without a word as to why I've been arrested. I want an explanation. Look, I'm an accredited correspondent. My paper is in order. You know that. Now, what about it? I gave up. They had no intention of dealing with me until they were good and ready. I could see that. I watched the man behind the desk, Inspector Golovin of the MVD, a small, round little man in a badly fitted gray suit. Gold-rimmed spectacles magnified his brown eyes. And when he smiled, his full lips uncovered the most fantastic set of stainless steel teeth I ever laid eyes on, full uppers and full lowers. Then the morning feast was over.
My dear Luttrell, how pleasant to see you again.
Again? We've never met. You know it.
I see we shall get on very well.
Why am I here?
A legitimate question. You are here to confess.
Confess to what?
Shall I read it to you?
You mean... You have written my confession?
No, my friend. These are the charges, only the charges. The confession is up to you. With my help, of course. You are interested?
Go on.
From the office of Max Golovin, Inspector District of Moscow, Reverend Tiberius, first officer. No, this does not concern you. Attested to by the following officers of the People's States, it does not concern you. Subject. Concerning the activities of one Arthur Henderson Luttrell, correspondent WNA, citizen of the United States of America, resident of Moscow 2 years, hereinafter called accused. One. That on the morning of August 21st, 1952, the accused was observed by witnesses in an exchange of objects with Azar Regine engineer, former member of Ukrainian People's Agriculture Cooperative, while standing near north entrance of the Workers' Palace.
The little man droned on, unreeling paragraph after paragraph of nonsense. Names of people I'd met as a reporter or at official functions, on the street, or anywhere. Names of people now dead or awaiting execution. It wasn't until this thought came that it dawned on me what my crime might be.
And in the last paragraph, Golovin confirmed it. The execution of
that sentence. That Arthur Henderson Luttrell is accused of the crime of espionage and the encouragement of sabotage. That by the use of personal influence, he contributed to the deviation of 12 individuals since convicted, sentenced, and in 4 separate instances executed for crimes of treason against the state. Well?
Very clever.
Nothing clever, my dear friend. Merely a recitation of facts. Do you or do you not confess?
To a trumped-up deal like this? No. Not on your life.
On your life, Mr. Luttrell. Товарищ, прикажи его.
Oh.
You have been asked the question, my dear boy. Do you or do you not confess?
Go to the devil.
It's your ass. Confess.
No.
Confess.
No.
Confess.
Then they tried psychological persuasion. The method to wear me down to the point of exhaustion when I would gladly sign anything in exchange for a night's sleep.
You will confess. You will read from this paper. Then you will sleep.
No.
You will read the following. The charges brought against me are true.
No.
I am guilty of sabotage. Read it, Mr. Luttrell.
No,
read it.
I am guilty of sabotage and the use of personal influence.
Go on. Then you will sleep.
And you... No. No, it's not true. It's not true. No. And I awoke to find myself back in my cell. Then I noticed something was strange. Something different about my cell, an unnatural stillness. It took an effort to focus on the moment, and then I saw what it was. My cell door was open. Just a crack. But it was open. It had always been closed and double-locked each time I was returned from questioning, but now it was open. Reason told me it was another way of torturing me. It was a trap. But I had to try. Cautiously, I stepped out into the broad corridor and I moved past the line of cells. If I could reach the bronze doors. The bronze doors. Outside. Escape. And then I was standing before the open door of the office. It was empty. No Golovin. Nobody. In the corner behind the desk stood the coat rack. On it hung an overcoat and a black hat. I took them and I put them on and walked out to the bronze doors. I was outside. Except for a black limousine that stood across the parking area, the place was deserted. Nobody. My first thought was the embassy. If I could get to the embassy, I'm safe. I looked again at the limousine, an official car of the MVD. Trying to be as casual as possible, I went over and looked in. The ignition keys were there. I got in quickly and stepped on the starter. I drove carefully, alive to the fact that the city had 1,000 eyes. It was early morning. Few cars were on the streets. And suddenly the welcome sight of the embassy came into view. It loomed large and took shape as I approached. There was a car parked in front of the main embassy entrance. I pulled up behind it. I was about to set the handbrake when I saw something that turned my blood to water. not 40 feet from me, leaning against the stone post of the entrance gate, was a man in an overcoat. He was absorbed with a small hand mirror in which he was examining his teeth, probing here and there with his forefinger. It was Inspector Golovin. I pulled back out into the street. In the rearview mirror, I saw Golovin go to his car and start after me. I was in a panic. At the corner, I turned left and headed toward Red Square. Then began a dodging game that took us through the west section of Moscow and into the industrial suburbs. Time after time, I was sure I had lost Golovin, but he would seemingly materialize out of nowhere and fasten himself to me. And it went on and on and on until we neared a bridge. The right... picked up speed, and in a while found myself in open country with Golovin nowhere in sight. I had lost him, or he had lost me. What difference does it make? I had no chance of ever getting back to the embassy now. The MPD would be there waiting for me with a color guard, so I just drove on. On the strength of an MPD identity card I found in the pocket of my overcoat, I obtained gasoline at a small town, and I continued on westward. I drove steadily the rest of that night and all the next day. And late the following night, I reached the outskirts of Warsaw, and the time had come to abandon the MVD car. It had served its purpose, but by now the entire secret police undoubtedly was alerted to watch for me, so I left it at the side of the road and started walking. In half an hour, I was at my destination, the apartment of an old friend. I was on the ragged edge. I needed rest.
What is it?
Hello, Maria. Oh,
Chicago!
May I come in?
Oh, Chicago, you're a ghost. Yes, yes, come in, come in.
I'm very tired.
Sit down here, my darling.
Oh, it feels good.
I will make some tea for you. Mm. Oh, it's such a surprise to see you, my Chicago. What has happened to you? Are you not in Moscow? Oh, no, of course you're not in Moscow. You're here. Why are you here, Chicago? Chicago. Already you're sleepy. That is good. Sleep, my son.
Good morning.
Ah, Chicago. Finally you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not morning. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. How do you feel now, huh? You sleep good? You're going to stay awake now? I give you a cup of coffee.
An angel.
Oh, never mind the angel talking here.
Thanks. Oh, first cup of coffee I've had in 2 months.
Now you must tell me, Chicago, what has happened. Where do you come from? Where do you go?
Old Cotton Eye Joe.
Old which?
Your questions. Where do you come from? Where do you go? Like old Cotton-Eyed Joe. It's an American folk song.
Oh.
Never mind. Sit down, Maria, and I'll tell you.
I have missed you, Chicago. And when you came in last night, I was very happy.
You're still as beautiful as ever, Maria.
Oh, but I am wrong to talk this way to you. Everything was finished 2 years ago, and so it must remain.
I still think we were fools.
Forget. Now, you're in a lot of trouble, huh?
Yeah, a lot.
You talk in your sleep.
No, what did I say?
Oh, I could not understand everything, but you keep on killing a man.
Golovin.
Golovin, yeah, that is the name. You must hate him to kill him so much.
Well, he gave me a lot of trouble.
Oh?
What he look like?
Oh, he's a small man, quite small.
Maybe a little fat?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does he wear glasses?
I really talked in my sleep, didn't I?
No, but there is such a man outside in the street who looks like that.
What?
Wait, I go look. He's still there. Come look, but be careful. Don't let him see you. Across the street, you see? Oh, he has been there all day. He was there this morning.
He's an inspector for the MVD.
MVD?
I've got to get to Berlin.
Yes, you must leave Warsaw.
Maria, can you help me?
I think so. I know someone.
Can he be trusted?
Yes, you know my brother, Bronislav?
But he's with the communists.
Oh, I shall let you decide that when you meet him.
Remember to use the pistol only as a last resort. So, go over your cards again, and we shall see if you know them.
A personal identification card.
Duck.
Gasoline ration card.
Duck.
ID badge where I work.
Inspector for State Fisheries.
State Fisheries. Travel permit. And a work record.
Good. Now we go.
Maria. I don't know how...
Not a word from you.
You saved my life, Maria. I'll never forget.
So, give me a kiss now.
Come now. Let us go.
Goodbye, my beautiful Chicago.
Goodbye. Bronislav led me down the stairs and out the back door to the alley where his car was parked. There was no sign of Golovin, a relief to be sure, but still a surprise since both of us half expected to see him. Maria's brother had done a first-class job arranging my escape. From Warsaw to Berlin was a cruise, clear sailing all the way, and it was a lovely summer night when we arrived in Berlin. We drove as near to the line, dividing the sectors as we could. I got out. There was a handshake between us, and Bronislav was gone. I started walking to the end of the street, the end of Soviet influence. 10 yards away, I rounded a corner and...
Good evening, Luttrell.
Golovin. The little man blocked my path so I couldn't get by. His hands were thrust deep in his pockets, a frightening smile on his face.
So now it is the end of the road for us. No, Luttrell? For a while, I thought this moment would never come to pass. But now it is all over.
As he spoke, he withdrew a small pistol from his pocket, balanced it casually in his hand, and continued talking. This was the end for me.
To think, Luttrell, I allowed you to escape, so...
So that you could shoot me at the end of the road. Quite the saddest, aren't you?
I allowed it so that I could make my own way here.
Look, don't play games, Golovin.
Games? No games. This entire thing was planned for my escape.
Your escape?
Mine. By following you, I could give the impression that I was only doing my duty by pursuing an escaped prisoner. A prisoner who, by chance, you understand, led me to here. You still do not believe me, do you?
And I just don't get it, that's all.
Luttrell, in my country, it is bad alive. Soon my colleagues would have seen the things I could no longer hide, and then would come the purge. The purge of me. I had to leave before that could happen. So, now.
And I find it kind of hard to swallow, I'll tell you that.
Here. Take my gun. Take it. Now you believe? So come, my dear boy. We cannot stand here. Let us go across the road. You see, I need you to vouch for my story when I am questioned.
One thing, Golovin.
Yes?
What would you have done if you had found that your colleagues were closing in on you?
I would have seized you immediately and taken you back to Lubyanka. You were never exactly what you would call safe, Mr. Luttrell. You were my insurance.
Yeah.
This is the American sector?
It is. My territory now.
Then we must seek the military police, and I give myself up.
Yeah, I guess they would like to have a talk with you.
So now, my dear boy.
No, wait. Wait a minute, Golovin.
Wait?
Why did you do that?
A lot of reasons. You figure them out. My knuckles hurt. They were bleeding. Golovin sat on the pavement looking stupid. I turned to go, and as I did, he took his hand from his mouth. His full lips hung slack, revealing his steel teeth bent grotesquely out of shape. I shuddered and went to find the military police.
In which Mr. John Daner starred in his own story, The Man with the Steel Teeth.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday from February 17th, 1955 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. It's been a pleasure.